Some Seattle progressives are finding a Trump presidency hard to swallow. Writer Ijeoma Oluo is thinking about her family.
You know, honestly, the first thing I wanted to do is get home to my kids. I was at an event, an election event with people, and I just needed to get home to my kids because I was thinking someone has to explain to them what just happened here. I had purposefully not told them that this was in the bag, like so many people were saying, because I didn't want to have to explain why I was so wrong. But I really wanted to explain to them the world that they now realize that they lived in. It was a profound sadness for me. It was not...
How did you explain it to them?
You know, what I explained to my youngest, especially my nine-year-old, was that we live in a world where people make a lot of decisions out of fear and a lot of decisions out of anger. And they don't make a lot of sense sometimes, especially to people like him, who haven't had to face all of that and haven't had to face a lot of the lies out there and haven't spent their whole lives being indoctrinated by it. But I told him to focus on his classmates and what they're believing right now and what they think and their priorities, and know that, you know, he's going to have a turn to do better, and they will do better, and his peers will do better. And he felt so betrayed. He felt so sad. He felt really scared. And I said, you know, when you talked to your class about this election, what did they think? And, you know, he said, none of them would have voted for Trump. None of them would have voted for this. They all want people to be safe here. They want equality. And, you know, they don't want any of this. And I said, okay, well, you know, in a couple of years, you're going to be the one who gets to make that choice. And you're going to make the right choice, and your peers are going to make the right choice. And I'm sorry we made this harder for you right now, you know, but I'm going to keep you safe. And I had to keep reminding him that, you know, that I've kept him safe so far. And a lot of what we're seeing now has been in place a long time. But, you know, I'm his mom, and I've been fighting for him, and I've been fighting for myself, and I was going to keep doing that, and we were going to get through it.
Other than talking to your children, now what are you focused on doing?
You know, right now what I'm focused on doing is I'm focused on capitalizing on all of the attention that America is finally paying right now. You know, I had so many people reaching out to me last night and this morning saying, what happened? What happened? What happened? And I really wanted to say, have you been reading my work? Have you been reading the work of so many other people who have been talking about this, who have been warning about this, who have been saying this actually is the society we live in? What I want to do now is I don't want to yell at other people. I don't want to be angry. What I want to do is I want to focus all of this energy, all of this attention toward the future. I want to focus on making ourselves as strong as possible in these next couple of months, because we are going to need unity. We are going to need our strength. We are going to need our focus come January. And that's what I want. I want to capitalize on this, because it's not going to be as bad as we think it is immediately. And then it may very well be as bad as we think it is eventually. And if we get complacent once this initial shock wears off, we're going to be asking ourselves, how did this happen again in a couple more years? And now is a time to focus this energy and make sure that we know how this happened and what we can do to ensure it doesn't happen again.
Are you just talking about unity among progressives? Are you thinking about unity across a divide in this country?
I'm talking about both, and immediately I'm talking about unity across progressives. And I think that that's important, because I think that even when you look at the numbers, there are huge gaps there, right, where we could have come together. But also, I think that the majority, especially of white America, has access to conservatives in their family, in their offices, in their community, people who care about them, care about their emotions, and care about how they're feeling. And a lot of us were afraid, a lot of people were afraid to have those difficult conversations leading up to this. We wanted to keep the peace and not say, hey, this is the real effect that you're going to have on me. Well, here we are. And so now is a really good time to start having those tough conversations. We have nothing to lose now. We can start having these conversations. We can start pushing buttons. We can start saying, you know, what are you going to do to be here for me? I am afraid. And I am upset, and I am hurt, and I feel betrayed, and I need your help. If you care about me, regardless of you know, people have been saying all of this time that it's just politics, it's just politics. Well, now we have the real life effects. And so, you know, if your family members are hurting, your community members are hurting, now is a good time to start having those conversations.
What's one thing you'll take away from this election?
One thing I will definitely take away from this election is I think how much we wanted to deceive ourselves and how hard we will work at that.
Why is that important to you?
I think it's important because I think that's our number one enemy.
You know? Self-deception.
It really is. This is the world we've been living in, and we've been looking at these rallies. We've been making so many excuses this entire election season, right? Every rally that was brimming with anger and hate, right? When we watched people of color being pushed to the ground and being hit and being spat upon, when we saw all of this anti-immigrant sentiment, and we saw crowds of thousands of people cheering it on, we made excuses every time because we didn't want to admit that this is how our friends and our neighbors and our community members actually feel. And what that is what defeated us. That is what did it. Because in that complacency, we let people slide. We let people justify to themselves really abhorrent decisions. And I really do think that's where we lost this.
You and I have talked about this before, that you're not necessarily saying that most of those Trump voters think of themselves as bigoted.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
So what do you see going on?
You know, I think one of the funny things about bigotry, one of the funny things about white supremacy in America is that it doesn't require your intention. It is something that works at a default. And I don't think we realize that we are born into it, that it is a legacy handed down to us. And a lot of what we have that makes us comfortable as people is rooted in that. Our status, our identity, our jobs, our property, our neighborhoods are all rooted in that. And when things threaten that, right? And a black president will threaten that. Marriage equality will threaten that. A female candidate will threaten that. Increases in immigration will threaten that. We feel
losing your job or seeing your wages flatten.
Exactly.
Might threaten that too.
It will threaten that, especially if you see other groups that you are used to seeing make less than you doing better, right? That threatens not only your security, but also your sense of identity, because we oftentimes view ourselves in comparison to other groups. All of these things that threaten that, you feel uncomfortable and you don't have a name for it. And you don't have immediate malice on the surface. All you know is that you want to get things back to the way they were. The end result, though, is oppression. The end result is more white supremacy, right? The end result is more patriarchy. And it does not care what your intentions are. And I think that we need to look at that. We weren't investigating these emotions. There were all these think pieces saying, no, middle America is just scared. They're just scared. But we never said, what's the root of that fear? And is it legitimate, right? Do we have a right to be this afraid of change that is actually improving the lives for so many people? We always just assumed that it was valid. And it wasn't, because it's been built on a system of injustice. And the fear has been equality. The fear has been justice that erodes the platform that so many people have built their lives upon.
So if that animating emotion is not malice, but it's fear, which we can all relate to, do you think that progressives and Trump supporters have a way forward together in this country?
I hope so. And I think it'll be hard. I think this is one of those things that is a massive retraining almost. It actually reminds me of the old spotted owl debate that we had in the 90s, where we were like, oh, don't worry, don't log anymore. We will retrain you. You'll have a new job. And people were saying, are you kidding me? This is my life. My grandparents did this. My father did this. I was born to do this. This is my life. And you can't just come in and say, here's the new world. But the truth is that we have grown in two separate worlds. We have a world that has moved towards equality, that has moved, you know, towards justice. And we have a world that is still very stuck on a hierarchy. And to say suddenly you need to accept this new world when we haven't done any of the retraining, we haven't looked at how we are educating our children on this. We haven't looked at the way in which our entire justice system is set up around this, the way our government's set up around this, our entire world's built upon it. So in a day, you can't say, vote for something different. We actually have to start at the beginning. And I think that's the only way forward, because in all honesty, people need the tools to move forward. We grew up here, those of us who grew up here in the Northwest or in liberal areas like this, we forget that we were born with a different expectation, right? Now, we do still have some very white supremacist expectations here, but we also had, you know, different expectations as to what being a man is, as to what being a white person is. And we had our entire lives to acclimate to that. And so as change comes along, it kind of fits into the mold that we have grown up in. And we really need to start looking at this, how we are talking about this, how it is in our culture, in our films. Because what we had was, we had Trump wrapping up in a bow the ultra-typical stereotype of white American males. And for people who were raised to think that that's what they should expect, this was home, this was comfort for them. And that's what we need to start attacking. And I think that if we can do that, and we can start people young, and we can start early in our systems, that's where we can really move forward together.
Talking about what we can do, that's Ijeoma Oluo, who wrote a piece for The Stranger called Good Morning America, Welcome to Your White Supremacy.